All right, so today we have the inaugural episode of a new podcast series here from O'Reilly called Generative AI in the Real World. And our first guest is Chip Nguyen. She is the founder of Claypot AI and also the author of the O'Reilly book, Designing Machine Learning Systems. So Chip, welcome to Generative AI in the Real World.
Hey, Ben, really excited to chat. I've been following the work for a long time, and I feel a little bit of pressure being the first guest on the podcast. So listeners, this like the podcast is going to get better from this episode. On the other guests will be much, much better.
All right. So as a starting off point, last year, O'Reilly ran a survey about AI adoption, and we will place a link to the survey in the episode notes for this podcast. And one surprising finding was the number of people who listed coming up with appropriate use cases as kind of a bar for AI adoption. So Chip, why do you think it's hard for people to come up with appropriate use cases?
So I want to find the question of like, how do I come up with use cases? Very interesting, right? I feel like use cases should be linked to business. So like we don't start with the solutions. We have to start with the problems, right? So like we can look at the problems we are facing and see like which problem we can solve using AI. So I think it's less about coming up with use case. Sometimes when I look at what happened last year or even like a couple of years leading to that, I think it's more like the gold rush. I see a lot of people using that analogy, right? So it was the gold rush happening and I'm like, okay, how do I be part of this gold rush, right? Like, you want to like go and dig some gold and your shovel and stuff. But a lot of people are not professional like gold rusher, right? So they do not know the tools and how to be part of it. But then like, if you are trying to just solve your own problems, then you should be the expert and you should get a much better understanding. So maybe it's also like another reason I think is for enterprise is because AI today is very different from the AI that we are used to. So AI, we've been using AI for in production for quite a while, right? Like we have Google Translate using AI mass productions for a lot of people back in the 2016. But a lot of those use cases are very quick consuming task-specific AI. Like we built AI for one use case. And the industry have come to several patterns, like fraud detection, spam detections, like recommendations, and people just follow pattern match. But here, for this general purpose AI, we are looking at a much wider range of use cases, and people have to be really creative. And I think it just takes a little bit of time for people to get used to that mindset. Well, what is the challenge with generative AI is that it's very easy to come up with demos, but it's very hard to rationalize it. And there are a lot of reasons. There are several reasons and we are slowly addressing it or quickly addressing it. So one of the reasons is that AI is pretty much probabilistic. So that's something that we see that people have a little bit of a hard time. So I see some companies, so actually recently, this is a few weeks ago, went through like a log of like hundreds of like customer requests, like support requests, and about like a half of them is about how do I get my AI to be consistent, like how if I want to fit it something, I want it to be exact, to repeat exactly what it said, for example. And this is not really doable, right? Like we know this it's for consistency. And this is a big requirement because we don't use AI just for consumer. We know there's a lot of people out there creating an app to showcase incredible things. But a lot of them are like consumer facing. You see the response and that is what you use it for. But for a lot of enterprises use cases, you use a response from AI and then input them into downstream applications. And that requires AI to be like very consistent. So I know that's like OpenAI has something like a JSON mode so that you can ask model to do it for a certain JSON, like in JSON format we can parse. But like for newer model, like for a vision model, it's actually not, that functionality is not quite there. So it's not, it's very hard. The other thing is it's not that you don't see the use cases, but it's a worry about the risk. So one big risk is compliance. So we saw that the GDPR, right? Like it costs companies so much money. I think it's like, I talked to a few companies, were like, yeah, just 6 months just gone. Just like trying to get the company up to date, be like GDPR compliance, and it costs a ton of money. So people are worried about like AI is still, like a regulation is still lagging behind. So there's a lot of question like, okay, if we build a product today using AI and the AI was trained on like data from like not theirs, so can they defend the IP in the future? Or when they get to, and it's just, so people are still like a worried more as a risk than seeing the potential.
Overall, Chip, how does kind of the rise of generative AI and these models, how does that change how you think about how teams should staff themselves, right? So what is the right balance between people who are really deep into the ML and data science versus people who are more into the software engineering and systems?
Yeah. Okay, so before this, I was looking at a lot of GitHub repos, 800 of them, to see like what people are building in terms of AI. And it's defined in 4 stacks, so at the highest level, it's just like applications, where people building incredible applications, like what you call the product hunt moment of AI. And below is the applications development layer, where people build things like RAG, where people build like other applications, like people do like prompting or like context learning and all the jazz. And then below that, we have the model development layer, when you have people building models so that you can power the app. So like this, consider including like modeling, right, and designing like, not many will do it nowadays, but yeah, you can still do it if you want to. Or coming up with like pre-training, post-training, fine-tuning, all the things that require you to update model weight. And the last layer is infrastructure. So we provide a compute data storage. And I see that for new generative AI engineering is a little bit different from traditional machine learning engineering, because now we actually do a lot less model development and a lot more application development. So what does that mean is that like we see that AI engineering become more full stack. So I know that like a few years ago, we've been talking about like end-to-end machine learning engineers. And now it's just like pretty much like accepted, right? You want to build application because you don't really spend days and years building models. You just, a lot of time you just take an existing model, tweak it, and then build application. So actually like we see very successful AI application developers who actually coming from full stack of front-end engineers. So recently I asked a friend, like what are he looking for when he hire an engineer, and he was like, he mentioned 3 things. One is front-end engineering. Second is attention to detail. And only the third is just like, yeah, that's like good engineer, like or like AI knowledge in general. In a way, I think it might have messed up the third tone, but like I remember very distinctly a front-end engineer as one of the top 3 skill set. So that is like more end-to-end, more front-end, less model development, and also like the workflow. So before when we build model, like we knew that, okay, we set out to build a fraud detection model. So you start with like collecting data. You start with collecting, like building model, and then you deploy it. Like it's pretty much at the end. But now you can do it the other way around, right? Like you starting having some simple model, like demo applications. And they say, okay, this is promising. The demo is getting a lot of attention and people love it. Now I started like gathering more data, because maybe when I started, I was just doing prompt engineering. So I didn't need a lot of like data. But now I want to like fine tune my model. So now I want to just like get a lot more data. And then maybe after that, I was like, okay, fine tuning model is just not enough. I want to like even like faster model. So I want to build my own in-house model so I don't pay OpenAI or Anthropic an astronomous amount of money. So now I go into model development. So there's a workflow is kind of a little bit changed, but a lot of skill set are still remain the same. Other than of course, like full stack.
Actually, you raise a very important point about front end, because front end is something that people who get trained in ML definitely don't get trained on doing any kind of front end work. And the funny thing is that actually, if you look at some of the more successful ML products, at least the consumer facing ones, front end is an important element in terms of how they get users to provide them clues as to how to improve the model, right? So for example, if you look at Google Translate, it'll have a UI element in there saying, was this a good translation or not, right? So that they can constantly improve their model. And then secondly, in terms of pre-training and fine-tuning, so I've been doing a lot of fine-tuning, and I'm the first one to admit that all I do when I do fine-tuning is focus on the fine-tuning data set. Because there's all sorts of fine-tuning services like Anyscale that basically focus on the fine-tuning data set and they will do the fine-tuning for you. They send you an email when your model is ready and then here's your endpoint. But that means that, the fine-tuning data set is the most important thing, which means domain knowledge and domain expertise, right?
Yeah, I certainly think so. So we think of like AI product is AI plus product, right? So an AI now that being off the shelf or like model as a service. So the focus really is on product.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the O'Reilly Podcast, Generative AI in the Real World. If you want to listen to the full version, please log in to the platform at O'Reilly.com.